Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning, Amy Jacobson here. Looky who's here in for Dan Proft, the one and only John Anthony.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, I spoke last night at the Three-Headed Eagle organization in Kane County, a group of Republicans, and they're like, oh, John Anthony's filling in with you. Oh, John Anthony. You're the cat's meow
around
there.
I've spoken there before.
I know.
Yeah.
Where was your location? Because mine was at a restaurant.
Batavia, I believe it was. A restaurant in Batavia.
I was in Geneva, Illinois.
Ooh.
And I have to tell you, I have never been to Geneva, Illinois.
No?
That was my first. Well, because I only, as a reporter for 20 years or whatever, I only went to cities where there were murders or something horrific happening normally. So, well, I guess you don't have any murders in Geneva because I've never been here.
Pretty much.
You get off that main strip, I felt like I was on a set of a movie.
Yes.
That town is gorgeous.
Yes, it's beautiful.
I felt like I was in a southern village. You know, they had the string, the lights outside and these beautiful front lawns in front of the restaurants, which gave it a southern feel, and all this outdoor dining and more restaurant. It was more vibrant than the city of Chicago.
It's beautiful.
There's hundreds of people out there.
We were just there a couple of weeks ago.
What's your favorite place there?
Is it Volt Dolce? Italian restaurant down there. The one with the, you have to walk down to get in.
Right.
Pretty good there. That's
good
food.
I want to try. So I was an hour late. I got in my car at 4, arrived at 6:26.
Traffic.
That bad. Hey, traffic's back, people.
Traffic.
But I want to do my jokes on you.
Oh, go ahead.
Because I thought I'd lighten up the crowd. Oh, wait, hold on one second.
Okay, here we go.
Say something.
Here we go. I'm... Am I going to laugh?
So, this is for you, too. All right. Be prepared. So, Dan thinks women aren't funny. So, I show up late. It's awful. I try to make a light of situation. I'm like, all right, everybody, let's get to it. Room full of Republicans.
Yeah.
Everybody pull out your vaccination card.
Oh,
who's got one?
How many? None.
So, that fell flat. And then I did this. All right, well, raise your hand if you were in the Capitol January 6th.
Oh, a couple of people raised their hand probably, right?
I would say not at the Capitol, but in the Capitol.
Oh, in the Capitol, okay.
On January 6th.
Yeah.
Nobody raised their hand, but people were at the Capitol.
Yes.
And I did meet someone who said, you know what? Divine intervention, because he was about to go into the Capitol.
I know what you're talking about, too.
And then his wife called him because their son, there was tear gas. It was a horrible situation, and he pulled out because of that, and he said that was divine intervention because he would have been, you know, thrown in jail, I'm sure. But it's so strange because, you know, now there's new groups coming forward. They want the Columbus statue back, which reminded me of that day.
Yeah.
And 89 police officers, our Chicago cops, were injured that day, including one who lost vision in his eye.
That's right.
And 60-plus Capitol Police officers were injured. And all those people, most of them, they're not even being released on bond.
No, nothing.
They're being held political prisoners.
Yes, I agree.
Which is awful. And I don't like what happened in front of the Columbus statue. Makes me sick. I don't like what happened with the police officers getting pummeled and bear sprayed. That's not cool either. But the fact that these two groups of people are treated so differently is disgusting.
I agree.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
You know, I said that those people who, on January 6th, those who committed crimes should go to jail.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a lot of people that was just in there. Remember, there were two separate entrances. The place where they were being allowed in by the Capitol Police, I just don't see how you can get trespassing with them. They were allowed in by the Capitol Police.
And they were walking through the velvet ropes and just looking around like,
right.
Oh, did you see it? Right. It looked like a, you know, junior high school tour that you go on. But then there were others that were kicking the you-know-what.
Breaking the windows.
Breaking the windows and beating police officers.
Mm-hmm. They should go to jail.
jamming them in.
Yeah.
But then you have people like the, you know, the QAnon shaman who was, he's a goof, but that guy's a goofball. I'm sorry. And he's an actor. Yeah. What did you call him?
He eats soy, all soy food.
That's right. So I was like, he's a vegan. He's going to die in prison. But he doesn't have anything on his record.
No.
He's an actor wannabe, does voiceover work, and they won't let him out on bond. But yet, if you murder somebody in Chicago, the chances of you getting out on electronic monitoring are pretty good, because we still currently have 96 people that have been charged with first-degree murder who are out on the streets of Chicago. And one of them cut his electronic monitoring off. Remember last week?
Yeah.
Last Friday? I think it was two Fridays ago. Cut his electronic monitoring off. That's why the SWAT team was called in, police. Yeah. And he had a shootout with police.
Oh, good.
And he was killed.
96.
And also, too, don't forget, because of COVID and this state of emergency that is perpetual every month, Governor Pritzker signs this state of emergency order.
Yeah.
4,000 people were released from prison because of COVID.
That's what we know.
And 64 are murderers.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be nonviolent offenders. And the thing is that when the emergency state of emergency is over, then they're supposed to go back to prison.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know? Nobody? No, why is that?
They were supposed to go. I mean.
No, they're supposed to go back. After the state of emergency is over, they're supposed to report back to prison. Oh. They were let out because of COVID. And now and the numbers are down. They've gone up and down and up because this is a virus, folks. This is the flu. This is never going to be eradicated. We have to learn how to live with it. Yeah, 4,000 people in the entire state of Illinois were released because of COVID. 64 of those are murderers. And they are not supposed to report back to prison until the executive order or the emergency order.
Let's just let me kill 100 people before I go back to prison. No, that's nothing there.
And you know, it's coming up.
Come on.
A week of, this Thursday, Lollapalooza is coming up.
Yeah.
And if JB, Jelly Belly, signs another emergency order, why would we have, you know, we're under attack. This is an emergency situation. Right. Why would we allow people from around the world to come to Chicago for a four-day event? 312-642-5600. Let's go to the phone lines. Dominic in Plainfield, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
This sounds trouble.
Donnie.
What's up, Dom?
Two questions. You know what 608 stands for?
Is this all joke Friday?
That's the White Sox, that average.
Oh, whatever. Oh. Shut up.
I got one question. Seriously, do you think there's anybody capable of beating Pritzker?
Oh.
No.
That's a loaded question.
That is... Right now, well, I like Darren Bailey.
The message is there.
Thank you very much, Dominic. That's a very good question, and I asked people that last night. Yeah. You know, who's voting for Gary Rabine? Raise your hand. Who's voting for, oh my God, Darren Bailey? Hello. And who's voting for Shimp, who I think I called Shrimp.
Oh, it's close, though, so you got to be careful.
And, you know, there's not a lot of enthusiasm for any of the candidates.
I do think Darren Bailey has the momentum and... the army.
Yes.
I do believe that.
And I trust him because he knows the system.
Yeah.
He's in Springfield.
Right.
He's been there. He was a state rep, and now he's a state senator. Quickly, let's go to Craig in Mount Greenwood. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, thanks a lot, Amy, for taking your call. I didn't catch the name of your co-host.
John morning, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, John Anthony. I should have recognized the voice. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
This whole issue with the January 6th and how they're handling all the Trump supporters and everything, this is one of the most, this is to go down in history, is one of the most rotten and clear examples of just how unjust and rotten these Democrats are. I mean, that, listen, they were cheering on all the destruction and raising hell all over our cities, all over America, destroying everything, stealing everybody's property, attacking cops, taking over police stations, burning everything down. You take them, if they ever released those videos and stuff from January 6th, there was a small group of infiltrators, of Antifas and Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, that entered their group, and they went way ahead of the group to break down them doors and do all that and get all that going. And the poor Trump supporters who got drawn into it just kind of like went in there and were wandering around. But the people that were raising all the hell over in January 6th were actually not Trump supporters. Why? But I hope they sure get to it, because all they're doing is locking up Trump supporters that really weren't doing the damage.
All right. Thanks so much, Craig, for the phone call.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, boy. Love this song. Do you sing?
No.
Why not?
I would run everybody away from the station right
now. Oh, you think you would?
I would.
Oh, okay. All right, hold on 1 second. Guess what I have to do?
What's
plug
that?
In my headphones.
Did it just get knocked out?
Well, I don't know who was in the studio. Was Sean back from Florida, Justin? Because it was messy in here and it smells like cigar.
Oh, it's probably Sean.
Yeah, that's...
I think he's still in Florida.
I don't know. Somebody was in here because somebody messed with the headphones, and it smells like man in here, if you know what I mean. All right, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick question. Because I am trying to convince certain people in this room and in another room.
I'm listening.
Skateboard man.
I'm listening.
I'm trying to convince you guys to get vaccinated.
Okay.
All right, because now we have a growing number of Republicans coming forward, people that... You know, maybe we're considered anti-vaxxers are coming forward and telling people, yes, COVID is real. Sean Hannity.
Now, just like we've been saying, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. Enough people have died.
So, Sean Hannity.
Okay.
Getting a vaccine.
All right, I'm listening.
Okay. And Stephen Scalise, number two House Republican, number two ranking House Republican from Louisiana. You know him. You're familiar with his work.
I am.
Never
I
came forward.
Died.
Almost died,
yeah.
But he doesn't want to die from the vid.
Right.
Okay. It's safe and effective.
Yeah.
I took it, and I wanted to show the picture to just encourage people. I was ready to get the vaccine. I've always felt it was safe and effective.
And then there's, you know, Mitch McConnell, who recovered from polio. Can you imagine if polio were to hit in this day and age?
No.
My mom told me nightmare stories because she grew up in that era, and she said we continued to go to school. And what would happen is when we got home from school, our parents would look at you and say, you need to rest. Are you okay? Mm. And then kids would take naps after school.
Oh, nice.
But they never stopped going to school.
Yeah.
They never stopped living. They never stopped having sports. And it was the parents' choice.
Yeah.
You know, and people
didn't
get
it.
We
were free, though. We were still free then.
Oh, yeah. We didn't live in the communist state of Illinois. I really believe we live in a communist state.
We definitely do.
We kind of live in a communist country when you think about all the social platform
we do.
That silence people.
Yeah.
And take their right to free speech away.
Yeah.
And not only President Trump, but I met so many people at the event last night, too, that have been taken off Twitter or suspended from Twitter. But back to Mitch McConnell.
Okay.
Polio survivor.
This is not complicated. 97% of the people who are in the hospital now for COVID are unvaccinated. So if there's anybody out there willing to listen, get vaccinated.
All right, John Anthony.
Yes.
Get vaccinated.
Negative.
Why are you not getting?
I will not get vaccinated.
I understand. I want you to have an open mind.
Because I
care about you.
Yeah, I know.
And if you get it or if Justin get, but Justin's already had it.
Yeah, I had COVID too.
Oh, you did?
See, that's my reason. My reasoning behind not wanting it is that I already was infected with COVID.
So you're going to take the Rand Paul stance?
Yeah.
Dr. Paul, he said, my immunity to it is stronger than a vaccine.
Yeah.
Because in Europe, if you've had COVID, you cannot get two shots. They will not allow that.
Really? That's not
It is. If you have COVID, that's your immunity is strong. Yeah. But also then you can only get one shot.
Yeah. But see, here's the deal. I don't make decisions based upon if I heard Trump got it. So what? That's President Trump. Whoever gets
Melania got it. She's had COVID. So has Trump.
Whoever gets the vax, go ahead. Guess what? I support you. I applaud you. But
I love you, and I don't want anything to happen to you.
And nothing's going to happen to me. I'll be okay. I mean, I
mark the date. Today is 23rd of July.
The rush and the push for this to get everybody vaccinated. I don't trust government. I'm sorry. I just don't. I simply don't trust government.
But what about, have you spoken to your doctor?
Yeah,
because that's what matters.
I have. And I told him I'm not getting vaccinated. You know what he said? Ah, don't worry about it.
Really?
Hey, well, guess what? He's from India. He's from India.
Where the Delta virus was born. All right. Well, let me introduce you to Paula. Okay.
Okay.
Paula is in, oh my God, what state are they in? Arkansas. And that's where CBS sent their reporter to interview people who are in the hospital with COVID. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's Paula, young.
God thought I walked my last day on this earth. I could not breathe. I just, all of a sudden, my lungs just didn't work. I have no comorbidities, nothing. Never had a lung problem, don't smoke, nothing. And it took my lungs and just, whew. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like trying to breathe in and hitting a wall in like a second.
Do you want to live like that?
No.
Well, now she's going to get the vaccine because she wasn't. Because she works in the pharmaceutical industry. Yeah. She had every opportunity to get a vaccine. Yeah.
See, the fear-mongering aspect of it, you know, the pushing that it doesn't hit everybody the same. It's simple. This virus does not hit everybody the same. And listen, I'm not saying if you want to get the vaccine, please, by all means, go out and get the vaccine. But this guy's not. I'm not putting some emergency use, non-FDA approved vaccine into these veins or into this body. That's just me.
Right, Paula's,
I don't even take the flu shot.
I'd say get the vaccine. Take the chance. It can't hurt. All it can do is alleviate some of the symptoms, even if it doesn't keep you from getting it. It'll at least help you get through it.
All right. And so two doors down from her is a man named Scott Rowe.
Okay.
Scott Rowe had COVID, but he had pneumonia first.
Ooh.
And then it turned into COVID.
Like you?
Like me. But I can't get COVID. I've tried. I've been.
You tried?
I have tried. My kids have had it. My hairdresser had it.
You're immune.
My person next to me on a plane on Hawaii had it. I can go on and on and on of people I've been around. And I never stopped loving or hugging my sons.
Right.
Because they came, you know, they had the mask and like.
Sound like Darth Vader.
Bob, don't touch me. I'm like, get that mask off your face. You're in our house. I love you. I'm hugging you.
Yeah.
And I'm taking care of you. Because one had symptoms. The other one had nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. And then I tested him a second time and he didn't have it. So it's all confusing.
Yeah. My daughter had it and she had no symptoms.
Oh, God. All right. So Scott Rowe, he's had pneumonia and then COVID. He's being interviewed in the hospital.
Here I am recovering, getting out of here finally tomorrow. Am I going to get a vaccine? No.
Why not?
Because there's too many issues with these vaccines.
If you would have had a chance to get the vaccine and prevent this, would you have taken the vaccine?
Nope.
So you'd have gone through this?
I'd have gone through this, yes, sir. Don't shove it down my throat.
Right.
That's what's
right.
Local, state, federal administration is trying to do, is shove it down your throat.
What are they shoving, the science?
No, they're shoving the fact that that's their agenda. The agenda is to get you vaccinated.
You know who Mr. Scalise is?
I know who Steve Scalise is very well.
Rowe, who is a Republican, had not heard that Steve Scalise, the second-ranking House Republican in Congress, had stepped into the forefront yesterday as a vaccine proponent. We asked him to read the congressman's statement.
He thinks that it's safe and effective.
And what's your reaction?
Not proven.
But does his opinion change yours?
No, it does not.
My man.
So you're on the same page as Scott Rowe.
None
of this has convinced you?
Not at all. None of it has convinced me. They say trust the science. What science? How many people have been adversely affected by this virus, by this vaccine? Why won't they show us the real numbers?
More so than by the flu vaccine.
Why won't they show us the numbers for that? You know, they think we're supposed to be guinea pigs? I'm not a guinea pig. For the government to see what, you know, no, that's not
right. So you said you had COVID. When did you have COVID? And did we hug at that time?
No. I remember.
Were
I told
you filling in here?
I had it when it first hit.
Oh, that's right.
We had it when it first hit.
Did you ever get your antibodies checked?
No, I didn't. My entire family, we had every symptom they had. The only one that didn't really get it really bad was the youngest twin.
Right.
Everybody else had it. My wife Deborah had it for like 21 days, 22 Ooh. Days.
Did she lose taste or smell?
I don't recall that.
312-642-5600. Let's go to Pete in Racine. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. An interesting fact is smoking, 440 to 50,000 people a year die from smoking. They choose to do that intentionally. 37,000 people die from secondhand smoke. That's pretty serious. You know, it's kind of like half of what COVID's done.
Yeah.
And that's every year, year after year. Why isn't the government helping us out with our health with that?
There you go.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pete, for the phone call. Let's go to Chip in St. Charles. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Chip.
You know, I believe that 75% of the people will never get affected by COVID to begin with. They never talk about that. What I do for a living, I'm in and out of everybody's nasty cars all day long, and I've been doing it since the beginning of this, and I've never caught it, and I've never had it, and I should be dead. I'm not getting a vaccine. I don't care. I don't care what they do. They could chase me down the street, and you know, I'll be fighting it the whole way. I'm not getting it.
All right, another non-vax. All right, thanks, Chip. Appreciate it. I just one thing though that really, really upset me was this Dr. Cobia. Have you heard of? She's out of this place called Grandview Medical Center in Birmingham, Alabama. So I'll rephrase.
Are they part of frontline doctors?
Yeah, she's on the front line. She works at that hospital because I called Grandview Medical Center yesterday after I heard and read her Facebook posting. All right, listen to this. Uh-oh. This is a reporter from ABC News reading her Facebook posting.
Okay.
Pay attention, people. Here's your homework.
One of the last things they do before they're intubated is beg me for the vaccine. I hold their hand and tell them that I'm sorry, but it's too late. She goes on to say, after patients die, I hug their family members and I tell them that the best way to honor their loved one is to go get vaccinated and encourage everyone they know to do the same. They cry and they tell me they didn't know. They thought it was a hoax.
I don't think it's a hoax.
No, I don't. But I mean, right before they get intubated,
yeah.
A lot of people are unconscious.
Yeah.
And when they're intubated, when you're on a ventilator, nobody's talking,
yeah.
By the way. So I actually left two messages because I want to know, because is this true?
Yeah.
You know, because people are just making things up and saying, here's another doctor from, all right, listen to this, Southern Nevada Hospital.
They're so sick currently that the doctors are talking about doing tracheostomies on all of these patients.
Ouch. Come on. Ouch.
They're doing mass tracheotomies. Yeah. Give me a break. That's just fear porn.
So, you know,
fear, whatever you want to call it.
With all these treatments available now, why aren't we putting people on these type of treatments as soon as we know they got COVID?
Yeah.
You know,
because we really don't need a vaccine because now we have treatments.
Right.
But the vaccines are already, you know, pre-approved for emergency use only.
Yeah, I wonder
so
why.
So you can't walk that back.
Right.
Let's go to Doug, who's on I-57. Good morning, Doug. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, I was just wondering, with this vaccine and with the people that are you know, dying of this of the coronavirus, but yet about the same amount of people die of the flu virus, and I don't have the President of the United States tell me to go get the flu virus, or Mitch McConnell, or Scalise, or any of these other people that supposedly are you know, knowledgeable people. They're not coming out there and telling me to get the flu vaccine. So I do think that there's agenda behind this coronavirus and the vaccine. And I'd say follow the money. There's got to be somebody making money off of this vaccine for people to be pushing it so hard in the public eye. And that's why I'm skeptical of it.
I see control, too.
It's what?
I see control behind this factor, too. Government control, how they're trying to force us into doing things we normally wouldn't do. You know, I'm telling you, I'm here for the government. Remember Ronald Reagan's the three words?
Ron, let's go to Ron on the South Side. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Ron.
Yes. First of all, a couple of ridiculous statements. You had a caller talking about smoking and secondhand smoke and what had the government done about that. First of all, it's not too many places now that you are exposed to secondhand. They eliminated it at certain bars. Pretty much, I'm saying you can smoke this in your home. So that's nonsense. Secondly, the government, I don't see the government forcing anything down my throat. I took the vaccine. I'm a 64-year-old gentleman. I made the decision. And for John, they said, "Well, I don't trust government." Then what do you trust?
Well, I have a right to
trust
say that.
Though. Private business. No,
liberalism.
What do you trust?
Look at that. I have a right to say what I don't want to do. And guess what? Live with it.
Well, you still anyway. I'll be clear on the day and come back.
Good job.
Thanks, Ron. Let's quickly go to Tony in Brookfield, Wisconsin. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Amy. Just kind of going with not trusting the government. They're not testing people who've been vaccinated for COVID. So when they give out these numbers, I just question it. And it's hard for me to swallow and hear the government numbers and the media numbers when I know they're not accurate and the testing isn't correct.
All right. Thank you. We got a lot of non-vaxxers out there. All right, let's go to another non-vaxxer on line one, Dion on the south side. Hi, Dion.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Have you called in before?
I have.
All right. Well, welcome back.
Welcome.
Thank you. So, I'm with John Anthony on this point. And my question to you, Amy, is what if, since you're not an expert in the medical field with these vaccinations, particularly with this one that nobody is an expert on because it hasn't been approved. With that being said, what if 4 or 5 years from now there are some medical effects where people are sterile or they just can't have kids or whatever the issue might be, would you get on and apologize or are you able to live with the fact that you was pushing this? Because if I'm wrong and Anthony's wrong, well, we didn't hurt nobody. We'll still be here. We'll still be here even if we're wrong. But what if somebody is sick or what if this is a hoax? And you can't blame people for being suspicious about something. When you got your vice president saying, I ain't taking something because of Donald Trump, and right. then 10 minutes later saying, I will take it, why would that not tell you, like, man, this is a money grab or there's something going on? And why is the government going this hard where they're giving away, you got people giving out free pizza, beer.
Oh, money. Shotguns in West Virginia. Yeah. F-150 Ford flatbed trucks. I know. I have never seen this like game show style world we live in right now. All right. Thanks, Dan, for the phone call. Let's go to our good friend Philip in Blue Island.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Hi, Philip. Let's go, Philip. Come on.
I agree with you. I agree with both of you because, again, you know, it's like you just said, John, it's your prerogative right. whether or not you want to have somebody stick you with a needle. But right. the point is, another point is, they're not giving stuff for high blood pressure or for diabetes. And now all of a sudden they want to give away millions and millions and millions and send it around the world of doses.
Yeah.
And so it's just a lot of FDA hasn't approved it yet. What's the problem with that? It's just too many questions, Amy, for somebody to just walk up to me and stick me in my arm. I don't know what's in this vaccine, and they're not talking about that. And the other 10% that are in the hospital now, why are they in the hospital? Most of them have been vaccinated.
Well,
so why is there another
10 to 15, Phillip,
maybe 20%? Go ahead.
It's 90% effective. So you're going to have 10% of the population that's been vaccinated have breakthrough cases. Okay, but they're saying 97% of the people that are hospitalized right now are not vaccinated.
Philip and I agreed on something.
Okay,
wow.
The 10%.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Philip. Yeah, it's a great day.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM560, The Answer.
All right, so the news came down at about, what time was it? 5:15 yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Subject title, Important Health and Safety Updates for 2021-22 School Year from CPS. And the bottom line is masks and face coverings need to be worn by all students, teacher, parents, and staff and coaches, and the students from K through 12, regardless of vaccinations.
So why should I get vaccinated?
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 646-36. Type in DA, then a quick comment. The best, safest place for our students to learn is the classroom. And we're looking forward to welcoming our children back to full in-person learning 5 days a week beginning Monday, August 30th. We know parents are eager to prepare their students to return, and we're writing to provide additional information about what school will look like. Yada, yada, yada. They quoted the Centers for Disease Control, but they also are taking the advice of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they are the ones who are advising that masks and face coverings be worn through perpetuity for the remainder of our lives in Chicago. We will be wearing masks. 312-642-5600. Again, Turnkey Debt Pro Interline. My heart sank.
Yeah.
Sank for my children. It is detrimental to their learning
yeah.
to wear masks.
What was the key word in that? Advise. Recommendations. These are not laws.
Based on feedback from our public health experts, these are experts. At the local, state, and federal levels, as well as the American Academy of Pediatrics, we will require mask, cloth face coverings to continue to be worn indoors by everyone, regardless of vaccination status. Are you ready for this? Except for while eating or drinking. Well, thank you. I one time saw a dude man who I wanted to yank his man card sitting there. He was at Badaki's, sitting outside of Badaki's on Damon there, and he was eating. He pulled his mask up right here over his nose, and he was eating. And he was by himself, and nobody's
around.
And I'm just standing there going, what? Wow. Literally, I was staring him down.
Oh, gosh. I don't get it.
May I continue?
I don't get it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you can take it off while eating or drinking. This includes students, educators, sports staff, visitors to the school building. Face coverings may be removed for outdoor activities such as recess and some sports activities.
Yeah.
Continuing to require masks will help make sure those in our school communities who are not yet eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine, which encompasses the majority of our students, remain as safe as possible. This is all about safety.
Yeah, okay.
Students aren't happy, that's for sure.
Kids have been mask-free all summer, including sports. There have been no deaths or hospitalizations because of COVID. With all due respect, to make them wear masks again is not following science or data. You are simply making decisions based on your own fears.
Here's another. Ooh. Yeah. Well, kids have been standing up. They've been doing the right thing.
Yeah. Don't think you need to because you're with so many people throughout the day, and you have to build up immunity somehow.
Yeah, build up immunity. Whatever happened to that?
It's gone.
And then you got the pro maskers because District 200, Wheaton, Warrenville, they've the superintendent there, who I now have fallen in love with. masks are optional. In Geneva, masks are optional, mm-hmm. regardless of vaccination. But listen to these pro maskers, mm-hmm. these COVIDians who don't want to let it go, the COVID enthusiasts, the poly spot crew, still say, don't get so close to me. They had a rally.
Uh-oh.
Because they're upset about the superintendent's decision in District 200. Oh, yeah, they want to keep those diapers on their face.
We have all sacrificed. We need to do our part in these last few months to continue to protect everyone until the option is available to school-aged children.
Hey, dumb. It's never going to go away. It's not going to be eradicated. We're never going to have a day of...
Well, the flu did. The flu was.
That's right. We didn't have... What's the thing you call it? The flu? The flu. Influenza A and B?
Yeah, I mean, what happened to that? There was millions of cases, but now all of a sudden it's just gone.
The mortality rate for children, the flu, has a higher mortality rate for kids than COVID.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Three kids in Chicago, a city of 2.7 million people, three kids died from COVID, and they all had severe comorbidities. I know one life's too much, but they died, and the secondary cause was COVID.
Right.
Not the first cause, but nobody knows that. Nobody talks about it. And we had a doctor on yesterday from a professor from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine who said, find me one doctor in this country, in the world, who can tell you that a healthy child died from COVID.
Oh, boy. You can't.
No. So here's my lady. I mean, I feel sorry for her husband.
My superintendent is arrogant enough to believe that it's okay to roll the dice with the lives of our children, and that's unacceptable.
Well, Amy, do you think, though, I have a working theory I've been working on. We've taken too much stock in masks, and maybe, you know, being out and about with masks, we've probably spread the virus even the more because we've taken so because, I mean, when we take off our masks and sit down, does the virus just sit there on the table and wait till we get up? And then when we walk away, we become carriers again.
Oh, yeah. And if it sits on the table, guess what? You're not going to get it from the table.
Correct.
There's no surface to person contraction of COVID in the world. Yeah. So all those, you know, Clorox wipes we bought.
Yeah.
Give me a break. 312-642-5600. I gave our good friend Bob, he's my favorite engineer. He lives in Buffalo Grove. I gave him a homework assignment last night. I asked him to go to the District 21 board meeting? Uh-huh. Well, because I couldn't, because I had a speaking event in Geneva, which is a suburb of Iowa. And Bob now is on the line. Hi, Bob. How did it go?
Well, I don't think you're going to like the vote, but I attended the meeting. And at the beginning of the meeting, I don't know if you know him. I never heard of him. Dr. Connolly. He spoke for about 15 minutes on the pros and cons and all the medical stuff with regards to COVID and masking and all of that. And then they opened it up for discussion. One woman spoke on behalf of wearing masks at the conclusion of her speech.
Well, what did Dr. Connolly say, that masks are effective or ineffective?
They pretty much the parents raised questions, okay, and then they got applause for, you know, saying masks are not effective. It's my choice. Vaccinations, they're still experimental. Connolly gave a lot of the CDC talking points that their students, children under 12, they're not vaccinated yet, therefore they should wear masks. And then conclusion of all, they also took like one internet question.
Okay,
and,
all right, but that's good. But what was the final vote? Because we have other callers.
Seven and nothing to wear a mask for all the children K through five because they're not vaccinated. The exceptions are eating and being outside.
Well, what about teachers who are vaccinated? Do they still have to wear masks?
They voted on that, too.
And?
The teachers, 7-0, the teachers have to wear masks.
Oh, gosh, come on.
Wait. Excuse me. I misspoke. They have to be vaccinated. The teachers have to be vaccinated.
Oh, that's right, because that was a big concern.
Right.
Because not everybody wants to get vaccinated. So they're mandating vaccinations. They're mandating vaccinations for teachers in District 21.
Yep.
Okay, but
and the staff or whatever, the support, you know, I don't know what, if in the office, but, you know, the support staff or whatever at the schools.
Now, if they are vaccinated, can they be mask-free, these teachers?
I guess so.
Okay.
They didn't mention that.
But mandating vaccines.
They're following the CDC guidelines that, you know, if you're vaccinated, you're okay, but the children aren't vaccinated. And then the parents are, you know, raising concerns about the vaccinations. And one parent really spoke out and said, if my child gets sick or whatever, I hold the board responsible.
Go to litigation. All right. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, okay,
Thank you so much for attending that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Candace in Mount Pleasant.
Candace.
I can't believe I actually agreed with something Philip said this morning, but I'm with him.
I know, right?
Something's up with this. And the people who are getting sick now are the ones who are vaccinated, Amy.
Well, not all of them, Candace.
Spoon feed you because it's not true. Because Alex Berenson, who you guys have not interviewed for a week, has come out with this. He's looked at all the data from Europe, and they started getting the vaccine way before we did. And the data shows the vaccine doesn't work after about 3 months, and the people who are getting sick got the vaccine. That's why they're in a panic. Okay.
So you don't believe Dr. Awardi, who says 83% of the people in Chicago who are hospitalized did not get the vaccine?
Awardi says nothing, zero. Why do you? Okay, John?
Yeah.
I have no faith. I'm sorry. I think my reason is people can get us out of this. Because...
Wait, Candace, we can't hear you. You're moving around.
Wait a minute. Okay. Sorry. I think that minorities are the only people who can get us out of this because white people are acting a fool totally, 100%. Okay? And you know what, Amy? I feel like standing at the local Piggly Wiggly and handing out the Town Hall article on the masks and what they found in the lab test and showing that to parents who would die if they read this article.
Oh, I know.
Nowhere around. Yeah. Okay,
we read that article too on the air. That's disgusting.
And
what's on those things?
I feel like standing in front of the local shoe stores for kids going back to school and showing it to the kids because the kids could rebel and the kids should rebel against this. They should do their own walkout.
I think yep. you'll start seeing that.
I hope we'll, that's yeah. a great idea, Candace. Thank you for
I
the phone call.
I think you're going to start seeing that.
Like no mask Mondays. Yep. I know kids down you. South in Southern Illinois, they yeah. had a no mask Monday yeah. where they rebelled.
They need to
you know,
pop
she's
up all
right.
Over the
we got to get that article printed again. Where you there was strep on there. There was E. coli.
What?
There was all these. They randomly selected six masks from kids in Florida and a teacher. And the crap they found out in those
I'm
things
sure.
was disgusting. Strep was on there. I mean, things you just
so going so from
people
one
weren't
virus,
washing their hands after they used the bathroom, if you know what I mean.
From one virus to many more.
Yep. Bill in LaSalle, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Being these maskers are like a cult. Maybe you should refer to them as Branch Davidians.
Jacobi.
Well, we call them COVIDians, so yes.
Jacobi.
Yeah, that's what I said. Branch COVIDians. That's what I meant. Branch COVIDians. And also, how come nobody's when Dr. Fauci or any of these people are on the you know getting questioned in Congress? How come nobody's re-asked the question as to the percentage of their employees that have gotten the vaccine? I am Pfizer vaccine, but it's very curious to know. How many of the professionals in the CDC, the FDA, and so forth, NIH, have now gotten the vaccine?
That's a good question. Yeah, I do not know. Thanks, Bill, for the phone call. Let's quickly go to Larry in Elmhurst. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm looking at on the internet here, all the people in Biden's inner circle that have invested millions into these Johnson & Johnson, Susan Rice, Eric Lander. List goes on, but my point is, I got a card. I didn't get the vaccine. I got a card with lot numbers on it. It's legit. I'm not getting the shot. I don't believe in the shot because you sign a waiver when you get the shot, and you can't sue anybody.
See?
It's not FDA
yeah.
approved. Yep. And Dr. Oz said that this is going to totally screw up the flu shot. Whatchamacallit, when this comes around in November and or October and September, and that when you start getting your flu shots.
All right.
And Amy?
Yes,
Amy.
Sir.
Oh,
okay. I don't get it.
He's a sheep.
Yeah, I'm a sheep. Very, really funny. All right, coming up, I want to tell you about possibly delaying fall sports.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
All right, so somebody told me that has been very right, a good inside source with IHSA and the governor's office. Let me know that there is a possibility that fall sports may be delayed or pushed back because of this surge in cases, which really isn't a surge. We
right.
went from 0.4 positivity rate to 1.5.
Right.
So legally, you can say cases have tripled.
Yeah.
You know, you hear this like cases are up 738%, you know, in Alabama and Arkansas and all that.
But what's the raw numbers of that? How many people?
So we had 2,000 people test positive yesterday for COVID in Illinois. So our Illinois positivity rate is now up to 3%. Lock your doors and windows. So I asked Governor Pritzker about it. I can't go through this again. The kids of Illinois cannot go through.
Nobody
this.
Will
Not,
allow.
Ready?
It.
Here's his answer. I said, "Will fall sports be delayed?"
We're constantly monitoring COVID, as you know, across the state, and we'll impose mitigations when and how we need to. As you know, I've not been reticent to do that, and especially because we want to keep people safe, especially
safety.
Those who are unvaccinated, who are most at
God.
Risk.
We're just dumb. We're stupid. We can't take care of ourselves.
So, you know, I asked him, is this still on the table? Delaying fall sports.
You know, I know this is something that you pay a lot of attention to and keep pushing on. This is not something you say you have an inside source. This is not something that it's constantly something that the IDPH is monitoring to make sure that we keep our children safe, that their families are kept safe, that people who work in schools are safe. But
safe,
it's
safe,
not something
safe.
That we're immediately looking at doing.
Does he have any clue if he delays or postpones or cancels high school, middle school sports? This, I think, there is going to be the biggest rally you would ever see in your life in Illinois.
Yeah.
I think people might flip cars over and set them on fire because there is no reason. This is this. They are not a health threat, this risk group. And every state last year had complete seasons. And I have a really good friend whose daughter plays volleyball. And I'm like, well, which school? And I talked to her yesterday, you know, because we had a shortened season. We only played 5 games at our school. And she said she got passed up. I said, what do you mean? She said, the scholarships are gone. The scouts, the college scouts, went to Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa.
Do you blame them?
They went all over the country. And it's us. It was New York, Virginia, California. And not even Washington. Wow. Jay Inslee let them play sports. Yeah, because the football players asked to meet with him, and he met with them, and he said, you know what? I'll let you play.
Yeah.
But
hundreds
of millions of dollars lost in college scholarships to the kids of Illinois. So if he goes through this again, there's going to be holy hell. Because we are not putting our kids through that.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today. When you've got questions, he always has an answer. It's Sean Hannity, this afternoon at 2 on AM 560 The Answer.
All right. Getting all hot and bothered. Masks at school, possibility of fall sports being delayed. And violence in the city.
Oh, boy.
I couldn't sleep 2 nights ago. My son decided to go to LA Fitness at 9:30 at night. I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm scared. There's a gang war going on.
Yeah.
Especially in Ashland. Oh, yeah. But we've got the Latin King Ashland North and Latin King Ashland South. They're always fighting. But with 10 rounds fired, you know, at 8 o'clock at night last week. And they had a carjacking on our street. Oh, yeah. A 22-year-old. They took her white BMW, and thank God they didn't pull the trigger. But enough about our neighborhood. There's other neighborhoods. Yeah, it's everywhere. In Lincoln Park, they had the party bus shooting where 6 men and 2 women were hurt. They ranged in ages from 23 to 52. They were on the bus. One person was pumping gas, and he got grazed by a bullet. And the sad, sickening part of this, the people on the party bus, the witnesses who saw it, will not cooperate with police.
Snitching.
Will not talk to police. So we have this new $1 million fund, you know, set up for the snitch line. Uh-huh. I don't know how they're going to distribute the money. They don't know how they're going to distribute the money. And then now we have the strike force.
Oh, boy.
Are you familiar with the strike force?
I was on one in Illinois, a task force.
But what were you named, the strike force?
Illegal gun trafficking task force.
Well, our attorney general, Merrick Garland, was here. You know, he's from Chicago.
Yes, this is coming home. I'm originally from Chicago.
Really? I think you lived and you went to New Trier. The main streets of Lomax. But he's here, a listening tour.
Yeah. I deeply want to know what you know and what you can tell me that will help me do a better job as being attorney general.
Oh, he sounds real assertive, right? Is he talking like this? Like, what am I supposed to do?
We can't hope to solve this problem without some of both law enforcement as well as community intervention.
Didn't we already have this, though?
Yeah.
When when William Barr was here?
Yes.
More authoritative voice. More authoritative voice, by the way.
Yeah.
Bill Barr.
Yes.
Than Merrick Garland, who's just...
Yes.
What am I doing here? What?
This is one part of it. We don't pretend this one part is going to be the be-all and end-all, but it's the whole package that we were hoping will reduce the risks here.
And Mayor Lightfoot, God help her.
That's your best friend, though.
Oh, yeah. She secretly loves me. She's letting people know, the feds are here. And don't mess with her or the city of Chicago. We got to get these illegal guns off the street.
You're bringing guns into the city of Chicago. We're coming for you.
Yeah.
We're going to meet you at the border. We're going to lock you up. And you're going to be sent off to federal prison. That's a very effective message. And we've got to get that word out. That's what I think the strike forces will do for us.
With more on how to stop the violence in Chicago, or have a suggestion, we have Zach Smith joining us. He's the legal fellow in the Mises Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, How to Stop Violence in Chicago. Zach Smith, what is the answer? And welcome to the program, by the way.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Well, the answer, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. You need to arrest the criminals, prosecute them, and get convictions. And unfortunately, what we're seeing by state and local authorities in Chicago, specifically Cook County State Attorney Kim Fox, is that she's just unwilling and unable, frankly, to do her job, prosecute crimes, and get convictions for the crimes she does prosecute. And that, in part, is certainly why we're seeing such large spikes in crime, especially violent crime, in Chicago.
Yeah, but why is she doing this? Why is she no bail, low bail, low bonds? Why? What is the purpose of this? Is there a racial aspect to this? Because everything's about race.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think we have to put this in context. Kim Fox is part of a larger national movement of so-called progressive prosecutors. I call them rogue prosecutors because they just refuse to do their jobs. But there's a group of prosecutors in big cities around the country that are basically funded by George Soros and George Soros-affiliated entities, and they have a radical view of the criminal justice system. They view it as being systemically racist, which I disagree with, and they say that the effective way to transform the system, to have transformative change in the community, is to rethink how they prosecute crimes. And so there's a whole swath of crimes that Kim Fox will no longer prosecute. She's seeking very lenient bail conditions in many, many cases, even cases that involve serious matters like assault, battery, rape, robbery, assault on officers. And, you know, again, unfortunately, I think the results speak for themselves, especially when you look at the crime statistics over the past several years and see, you know, how violent crimes are surging in Chicago and the surrounding areas.
Yeah. Hey, Zach, you know, I'm a former police officer and a state legislator here in the state of Illinois. I saw a video clip of a police officer from the Chicago PD responding to a domestic incident. The guy comes out with a gun. The cop turns around and walks away. I think what are your thoughts about how the dynamics of the attacks on policing, the whole defund the police crowd? I think that has a bigger issue. I think that's a bigger issue than the whole let's go after the gun issues when it comes to how do we fix Chicago. What are your thoughts?
Right. No, you're absolutely on the right track. It's been devastating for police officers who have been really demonized and demoralized for much of the past year and a half or more. There's a professor out at the University of Utah, Paul Cassell. He's a former federal judge. He studies criminal law issues, policing issues extensively. And he did an excellent study recently and found that this what you're talking about is what he calls the Minneapolis effect, where police officers don't feel supported. They're worried that if something goes wrong, they'll be, you know, crucified in the court of public opinion, you know, have these, you know, progressive prosecutors, you know, trying to find things to prosecute them for, even if they didn't act with criminal intent. And he talks about how this Minneapolis effect is really what's driving, in large part, these spikes in violent crime, and that the most effective way, especially in low-income communities where many minority members of the community live, the most effective way to combat violent crimes, to combat gun crimes, and all of the, you know, associated problems that come along with those is to empower police officers in those communities to do their jobs and engage in proactive policing. And so, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head that unfortunately, until our police officers feel like they're getting supported, get the support that they need, you know, things are likely to get worse, unfortunately, before they get better.
And, you know, but there's shootings in broad daylight. Do you remember the one-month-old who was shot? It was like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I know these all run together. But Tanya Smith is her mother, and they're leaving Chicago.
I'm getting up out of here today. I got to leave Chicago. I love the city, but I can't stay here anymore.
And I agree with her. If I could leave right now, yeah. My God.
I'm gone.
You're gone?
I'm in Joliet. I'm not in Chicago anymore.
How long did you live in Chicago?
I grew up here.
I know that's right.
Yeah, what am I born and raised here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I had to get out
of
here.
Don't tell me about your family life. We don't want to get into it. We'll get into that later. Zach, you don't want to hear that story. Right, but so what can we do? And how can we support our police?
Well, I think it's important, you know, certainly vote at the ballot box is very important. You know, Kim Fox is getting literally millions of dollars from George Soros-affiliated entities to run her campaign for state attorney. And that kind of money in state attorney's races is really unprecedented in a lot of ways. So I think making clear that this conduct is unacceptable, making clear her refusal to prosecute many of these crimes, her encouragement to her prosecutors to seek lenient bail conditions, even for violent offenses. You know, I think citizens have to stand up and say that's not okay. That's unacceptable. And, you know, I think the more that pressure is put on local officials, state officials, by citizens, the more they fear losing their jobs, which I know is a tall order. But I think that is the most effective way to bring about change. You know, yeah. If you look out in places like Los Angeles, like Fairfax County, Virginia, where recall efforts are underway for their rogue prosecutors there, you know, there's certainly a lot of attention being brought to the issue, and that would be a great first step.
Yeah, and Zach, you know, when you let out 4,000 offenders in our state penitentiaries, and I don't even know how many Cook County Jail let out.
No, it's statewide. 4,000 prisoners were released at the beginning of COVID because Governor Pritzker signed a state of emergency.
Right. So how many did Tom?
And he assigned that every for the last 15 months, and 64 of those are charged with murder.
Right.
But they're supposed to be nonviolent offenders.
How many did Sheriff Dart let out, too?
Oh, he's
Cook County.
So, 3,400 are on ankle monitors. So, and of those, 92 have been charged with first-degree murder.
There it is.
There is no city in the world that has people charged with first-degree murder out with ankle monitors.
Never.
Well, and if it's okay, let me highlight a couple of facts about that. Because one of the things Kim Fox has said is that you're able to effectively track individuals out on preliaries, on these ankle monitors. Well, here's the problem. When people break the ankle monitors off or don't comply with their conditions, they can be charged with felony escape. And if you look at Kim Fox's record of charging individuals who break their bail conditions, break off the ankle monitor, or otherwise violate their terms, her office, as of last year, had dropped 455 of those cases. They refused to prosecute them. If you look at her predecessor, and how many cases her predecessor had dropped, it was much, much lower. Something, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but something like 20 of those cases she had dropped. So it's just, it's insanity. And not only are these policies just bad ideas, they're dangerous, as we can see from the violent crime numbers coming out of Chicago right now.
And I don't know if you know what's going on in St. Louis. Did you hear about this?
100%. It's insanity.
Listen to you guys. Prosecutors just didn't show up. She was on maternity leave. So three people convicted of murder. The judge had to let them go because the prosecutor didn't show up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Zach, can you explain further?
Yeah, so the prosecutor in the city of St. Louis is Kim Gardner, who's also so-called progressive prosecutor backed by George Soros and other liberal billionaires.
African-American.
And it's part of the same. Yes, and is part of the same group of prosecutors being backed by George Soros. But look, this isn't just African-American prosecutors or women prosecutors. George Soros is also backing Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. He's backing George Gascon out in Los Angeles. And in all of these places, you're seeing spikes in violent crime. You're seeing prosecutorial, what I consider prosecutorial malpractice, you know, with things that Kim Fox is doing. Kimberly Gardner in St. Louis. You know, not only did prosecutors from Kimberly Gardner's office in St. Louis not show up and have these murder charges dismissed, I don't know if you both remember the McCloskeys.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So Kimberly Gardner initiated prosecutions against the McCloskeys for standing in front of their homes with the guns. Multiple levels of Missouri courts looked at that issue and said that Kim Gardner had to be removed from the case because she was exhibited undue bias because immediately after she initiated prosecution, she sent fundraising emails touting the prosecution and how important it was to prosecute people like the McCloskeys. So look, bottom line, these rogue prosecutors, they're dangerous. They have bad policy ideas that make their communities less safe. And so I think it's very important for people, wherever these rogue prosecutors are in power, Philadelphia, Chicago, St. Louis, Los Angeles, just to name a few, to stand up, make their views known, not only to those rogue prosecutors, but to other elected officials, especially people in the state legislature who often control the budgets for these offices, and let them know that this is just not appropriate behavior because it flouts the rule of law. It makes communities less safe.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, Zach Smith. Thank you so much for joining us, and we really appreciate your insight.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on. Take care.
You too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft. Dan doesn't take vacation. Dan just goes golfing. So he'll be off. Like yesterday, 2 days ago, he was off because he was playing that, I think it's bobolink.
Oh.
It's men only.
Oh, really?
Men only golf course. Yeah.
We can still have those?
Oh, yeah, we still have those.
Okay.
That's all right. But the best was one of their, I mean, I shouldn't say the best was, the irony was one of their members had a heart attack a few years ago and a female paramedic showed up. And they wouldn't let her in.
What?
You remember that story? You remember that? Maybe it was more than 10 years ago. Maybe it was 20 years ago. I've been here a long time, so it's all scrambled eggs up here in the mind.
You reported a lot of
news. I did. That was, they wouldn't let her in.
Oh, man.
She had to wait outside.
So did he survive?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Well. Okay, anyway, a big 1-6 commission imploded the other day when Nancy Pelosi kicked two members off, Jim Jordan and Jim Banks. Here's Mr. Jordan.
They just want to be partisan. They just want to continue to attack the former president. They want to play their political games.
And Kevin McCarthy, not speaker, but, number one in the House.
Minority leader?
Yes, minority leader. Kevin McCarthy was having none of it, and so he yanked everyone.
It's an egregious abuse of power. Pelosi has broken this institution. This panel has lost all legitimacy and credibility. And it shows exactly what I warned back at the beginning of January, that Pelosi would play politics with this. No committee in Congress will work if one person is picking all who can serve.
Well, she has that power. And so far, one Republican, seven Democrats on this commission. And the one Republican, of course, is Liz Cheney.
At every opportunity, the minority leader has attempted to prevent the American people from understanding what happened, to block this investigation. Today, the speaker objected to two Republican members. She accepted three others. She objected to two, one of whom may well be a material witness to events that led to that day, that led to January 6th. The other, who disqualified himself by his comments in particular over the last 24 hours, demonstrating that he is not taking this seriously. He is not dealing with the facts of this investigation, but rather viewed it as a political platform. This investigation must go forward. The idea that anybody would be playing politics with an attack on the United States Capitol is despicable and is disgraceful.
With more on this, let's welcome back to the program our very good friend, Brett Baer, Fox News anchor and number one best-selling author of 3 Days at the Brink, FDR's Daring Gamble, to win World War II and the forthcoming To Rescue the Republic, Ulysses S. Grant, The Fragile Union and the Crisis of 1876. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good morning.
So
good morning.
What's
doing great.
I understand, Jim Jordan might be a material witness, but what did Jim Banks do, the congressman out of Indiana?
Well, to listen to Liz Cheney, he was talking about the commission and its political nature over the last 24 hours. So he also obviously voted to throw out the election results in a couple of different states. And by doing that, Pelosi said it was disqualifying to be on this committee. So listen, this back and forth has been happening even just when talk of the committee was starting, the commission. And I think McCarthy was waiting for something
like that to happen.
To be able to have an out, and this was his out, and it's very clean. I think they can challenge what comes out of the commission, but it's going to go forward, and McCarthy actually may be called as a witness.
And it begins on Tuesday, right?
It does, yeah. We don't know how long it's going to go or what the format will be, but be rest assured, it'll be on television. Democrats think that this is a winning issue for them to go back down January 6th again and again.
And there's word this morning that Pelosi may add GOP Representative Adam Kinzinger to the committee.
I've heard that.
Another anti-Trumper.
Liz Cheney was an advocate for that. And obviously, you know, they come from a point of view, but it gives Pelosi Republicans on a committee that she can say is bipartisan.
Brett,
it's going to be must-watch television,
by the way. It really is.
Especially if the...
Brett, I think Leader McCarthy made a profound statement when he said, Nancy Pelosi has broken this institution. I think when you look at how she carried about the two impeachments, all of the investigations, the sham, I mean, you know, even with, what's his name? Trump used to call him pencil neck. Adam Schiff. I think when you look at how what she's been able to do during her tenure, she really has broken this institution. So with this... In this January 6th commission, will they also include the summer of 2020 riots, which Black Lives Matter and Antifa? I mean, because I personally think they did more damage to America than the people on January 6th. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, they're definitely not included in the commission. And Democrats have made no effort to kind of go at the heart of any of that. Which is kind of evident and is a vulnerability that Republicans talk about all the time. I do think, listen, Nancy Pelosi is a pure partisan, and she is someone who can herd the cats on her side of the aisle pretty effectively. And if you just go by pure effort to get stuff across the finish line, she can usually do it. Now, she's had some bumps in the road with the progressive side of her caucus, but she rules with an iron fist. And I think, you know, that is going to play in a lot of House races for Republicans in 2022.
Yeah, but what she's saying, basically what they're saying about Jim Jordan and Banks and all that, I mean, adding Lynn Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, I mean, how is that not the same difference? It sounds hypocritical to me.
Yeah, I mean, if she wanted to be a purist and say Republicans put on who they want to put on, she wouldn't have made a big stink about these two, and they would have moved forward with the commission. But she wanted the moment, and I think she knew what was going to happen, and McCarthy kind of knew. It was all a giant dance up on the House. And so now she has the commission she wants, with Republicans who are going to speak out against President Trump. And McCarthy has the ability to pull his people and say, I told you so.
Wow. All right, so Fox News has been under attack. Well, you guys are always under attack, but recently for being anti-vaxxers. Here's what President Biden had to say at that town hall meeting, you know, on CNN.
Well, those other networks are not a big fan of mine. One you talk about a lot. But if you notice, as they say in the southern part of my state, they've had an altar call, some of those guys. All of a sudden, they're out there saying, let's get vaccinated. Let's get vaccinated. The very people before this were saying, I shouldn't make fun of it. That's good. It's good. It's good. We just have to keep telling the truth.
So is Fox News, is that a wrong characterization?
Yes. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's really... really ridiculous. And obviously Fox is always in the spotlight and we're always under the microscope. But most of us have said openly for a long time that people should get vaccinated, but it's their choice. And this was our choice. And, you know, I posted on Instagram, this is what I chose and my family chose. And people should talk to their doctor. And that's really the message that came out from everybody. Now, some shows have questioned parts of the vaccine that, you know, haven't been fully studied yet. And raising those questions is not anti-vaxxer. In fact, those shows have made clear that they're pro-vaccine, but they do think that emergency use and questions about the implications of it are fair game for a journalist to ask.
Or
especially an opinion person.
Right.
Yes.
So, well, listen, we cover all sides. We're always going to be under the gun. But I think it's unfair to say that we're somehow pushing against the vaccine.
And Brett Baer, I love your show because it's very thoughtful.
It is.
It is very organized, and it's unbiased. Yeah, you tell the facts. But do you have any idea when is the FDA going to give it full approval. So there's not emergency use of this, because a lot of people are holding back that I hear from saying, well, you know, it's emergency use right now, so I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's a really fair point. And another question that's worth asking health officials again and again, because the longer you go with emergency use, you're going to lose some people to who say, I want the FDA to fully approve it. What is the holdup? Where are the studies? You know, how much money has been spent to analyze exactly what's happened? Now, this particular kind of vaccine has been worked on for years and years and years, and it is deemed safe. But you're right. A full approval by the FDA would change some minds, I think.
Yeah. Hey, Brett, how important is this back and forth between Fauci and Senator Rand Paul? And what do you think the outcomes will be with him filing
really important.
Criminal, with him filing criminal
really important.
Charges?
I don't know about the criminal charges. I think Paul put forward a recommendation, but I doubt that's going to go forward in the DOJ. But more importantly is the conversation about the origin and what exactly the U.S. was paying for in that Wuhan lab. I mean, more and more, even Biden administration officials are conceding that they think it now points to an accident in that lab. And there was funding that was going from the U.S. to Wuhan. Mm. Now, there's a great op-ed in the Washington Post today by Josh Rogan. He's going to be on my podcast later on today, but he wrote a book about China. He really went in depth about the origins of the virus. This is not a guy who is a pro-Trump administration guy, and he's a Washington Post columnist. And he says that Paul was right, that the U.S. did tangentially fund gain-of-function research, which was designed to change viruses to be able to see how they react. And if that's all true, we have a lot of explaining to do, and obviously the Chinese do too.
Yeah, I mean, why are we giving money to a communist country? Or is it all in the name of
science? The thought process that they say is for the good of the world to find these new viruses to be able to prevent them. But we are handing the keys over to the Chinese, and who knows if they're doing what they say they're doing.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Brett Baer, Fox News anchor, number one best-selling author of 3 Days at the Brink and your forthcoming book. We look forward to it. Hey, have you ever golfed at Bobolinks, which is probably called Bobolink, but I put an S on everything.
Yes, it's Bobolink, and I have not, but I aspire to. I hear it's a nice course.
Oh, it's beautiful.
But I would have let the paramedic in.
Thank you. Good answer.
Thank
and
you,
also,
Brett.
Yeah, because Dan Proft, is he golfing with your father-in-law again today? Because they know each other now.
They're golfing buddies. They do. I think they have golfed before.
Yeah.
So Dan's, he's intense when he gets out there. I know you guys know he's intense on the radio, but he's intense when he gets out on the golf course.
And if he has a bad shot, he doesn't get back in the car. He's like, I'm walking. And he just walks it off and then tries to regroup. All right, Brett Baer, thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend, and always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys. Bye.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, you almost started singing.
No.
Yeah,
George shuts me off from singing, though.
He what?
I can't sing.
I can't hear Shani speak up. Brandy
can't
hear you.
I can't sing. So.
Just sing no.
No.
No, so you just sang.
No, that was me saying no.
I'm desperately trying to find this bobolink story.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike Scott can help us out. He's got to remember
sure he
that,
probably knows.
Tell Mike to get on it. All right, so President Biden had a town hall with Don Lemon. And did you watch it?
I can't watch him. I can't stomach him.
I had to watch it for work.
I know. I'll turn it on the the Facebook link. When he starts pausing and
he was doing some pausing. You have to take a listen because as Donald Trump Jr. Well, I'll let you listen to it first and then comment. No, this was not edited, folks. This was live. This is as it aired the other night on CNN.
That's underway, just like the other question that's illogical. And I've heard you speak about it because you always, I'm not being solicitous, but you're always straight up about what you're doing. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you why can't the experts say we know that this virus is, in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved. Yeah. That's underway, too. I expect that to occur quickly.
Well, that means, you mean for the FDA?
For the FDA.
Did y'all understand that?
No.
Everybody, 312-642-5600, turnkey.proantilar. He was struggling to keep his thoughts straight when talking about the vaccines.
Yeah.
That was an answer.
That's the president of the United States of America there.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you miss the mean tweets yet?
I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled that this guy's in charge of the free world. That's what Donald Trump Jr. wrote. We should all sleep sound at night. Hey, at least there's no mean tweets, mostly because this guy wouldn't be capable of a tweet or even a complete thought.
<It's so
laughs>
He's
getting roasted. But if you watch the whole thing, he said same comments over and over and over again. All kidding aside, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
I'm being serious, man.
At least he didn't whisper. What?
Oh, the whisper?
Do you know what I'm doing here? Because I don't.
That is the class. When he's really serious, when he really wants you to lean in and listen, he does the whisper thing.
Listen, Jack.
You got to hear me out, man. So it's we have how many more years of this? He just reached his six-month
in office. But do we want Kamala as president?
Oh,
I think she would be so much worse.
Is she on vacation or something? Because she's been out of the media eye.
She was.
She went to
vaccines.
Walter Reed.
Yeah.
On Sunday night for a routine checkup, because we all go to see our doctor for a routine checkup on a Sunday night.
No, she was hanging out with the Texas Democrats. Remember?
Right.
And somebody
on her staff who was vaccinated,
right,
had a breakthrough case, but the symptoms were asymptomatic. Yeah. Believe it or not, but everyone keeps getting tested because we love to test. And then somebody on Joe Biden's team. Also, on the White House staff. But keep in mind, there's about 1,000 people on the staff. But here's the whisper.
I got them. $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential. I wrote the bill on the environment. Pay them more.
Oh, gosh.
This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening?
This is The Morning Show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Masks are back. Unfortunately, we got the news last night from and in an email from CPS. Out of an abundance of caution, if we save one life, all kids K through 12, regardless of vaccination status, must be masked at school, must try and stay 3 feet apart. Good luck with that at juggernaut schools such as Taft and Lane Tech.
Mm-hmm.
But they can take the masks off if they want to eat. Oh, that's nice. And a lot of the kids are not even going to be in the classroom, because I've heard from so many different superintendents, their biggest point of contention is lunch, because the kids, they take off their masks to eat and they could be spreading droplets through the air. I mean, people have got to get a grip, and men have to grow up and start being men. Why people, men in my neighborhood who are all masked up, doing the half moon around you, still doing the zigzag, making their kids wear masks while they're in their bathing suits, running through the sprinkler in the front yard. Where are the men? Honestly.
Mass sprinklers outside.
The dude man that's pretending to be a man behind me, he's like, he's all messed up. He's like, the variants, they're going to get us. I go, can you, please, there's a higher mortality rate for our children with the flu than there is from, more kids died on school buses this year than from COVID nationwide. And not one kid in this country who was healthy died from COVID.
Did you see the large inflatable sheep in Kendall County? I think it was in Oswego.
In Kendall County?
This guy put a huge inflatable sheep in his front yard for everybody to see as people drive by.
Oh, because we're all
show you the picture.
So with more on this and a man who is a writer of the blog Objectivity, Former Dallas Cowboy running back and coach Judd Garrett joins us on our turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning. How are you, Judd?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, good morning.
Great. So you wrote a fascinating article about Chicken Littles. Can you walk us through that, please?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're living in an age of Chicken Littles where, you know, the politicians are using fear, the sky is falling, to manipulate us, to get us to do things that, you know, maybe isn't, you know, the smartest thing in the world for us to do. So the Biden administration is using fear to sort of coerce us into getting the vaccine. And again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any shape, way, shape, or form, but I have big questions about this specific vaccine and the way the Biden administration is trying to force it on everybody. I mean, as you were talking before, the risk of COVID for kids under the age of 18 or 21 is next to nothing. And yet they're presenting it that, you know, scores of people are dying of that age group from this virus. My daughter is 18 years old, and she's forced to get the vaccine or else she can't go to college. Ugh. And we don't know what the long-term side effects are of these vaccines.
I know. If I had a daughter, I'd be very cautious about getting her vaccinated, because there's, you know, talk of it, you know, will affect the reproductive regions and things like that. Have you talked to your doctor or her pediatrician about that?
I haven't. I probably should have. I just heard that, you know, it was interesting. I have an older daughter who's 26, and, you know, she went out and got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you know, back a few months ago. And literally the next day after she got it, they pulled the Johnson & Johnson vaccine off the market, wow, you know, for a couple of weeks because of all the blood clotting and things like that. So we don't fully know all the long-term effects of these vaccines. They've only been out for about 9 months, and they've only been approved for emergency use by the FDA, yet Biden and everybody wants it to be, you know, used for general purposes for people who are not at risk of dying from this virus. It doesn't make sense to me.
In your article, you talked about classic fear-mongering with numbers. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the CDC, don't you know, recently said 99.5% of deaths from COVID in the United States were in unvaccinated people.
Yeah, I mean, I consider that classic fear-mongering, because when you kind of hear that sentence and it hits your brain, you grab a couple words, 99.5% unvaccinated people and deaths. That kind of gets pushed together, and you think scores and scores of unvaccinated people are dying from this. But if you really look at the numbers, if you're under 70 and you're healthy, you got less than 1% chance of dying of this virus if you get it. And then on top of that, I mean, if you do further numbers research, 33 million people in a country of 350 million have even contracted this virus. So you have a 10% chance of getting the virus. You multiply that by 0.5% of dying from it. So your chances of dying from it are even less than what the actual numbers are. So they throw out that 99.5% dying, and they want to scare everybody to death when they're not really giving us real information and real statistics that we can use.
Right. And Judd, it's not just fear-mongering. They're trying to shame us, those of us. Because, listen, I didn't tell you this, but I'm not an anti-vaxxer either. My kids get vaccines. I get vaccines.
Well, yeah, they
I
have to get vaccines to go to school.
Unless
I mean, chicken pox or measles and...
Right, or unless I do it a religious exemption, but right, you know, it's the shaming of what they're trying to do, the shutting down of free speech. Why? I mean, my biggest problem with this entire thing when COVID has started was when they started shutting down people who had opposing beliefs. Because trust the science. What about the doctors and the scientists who are giving us a different perspective of everything that's happening? When will Americans wake up and say, you know what, we're done with this, and we want to hear the other side of this? Because right now, we've only heard one side when it comes to all things COVID.
No question about it. And the problem is that the Biden administration is censoring posts on social media that they don't like. But then on the other hand, if you look at the Biden administration, they've been as dishonest as anybody about spreading misinformation, not only about COVID, but on a slew of issues. So here's an administration that lies to the American people day in and day out, and then they turn around and say, we're going to determine what is misinformation because we're going to censor that, and you have to follow what we're saying. And none of it adds up, and none of it builds trust with the American people. I mean, I don't trust a word that comes out of Jen Psaki's mouth. No. I don't trust a word that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth because they've lied to us too often for us to have any level of trust with them. And it's really sad where we are in this country.
I mean, there's a montage, and I want to play this too, of them saying, oh, if you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask.
If they are vaccinated and they are not wearing a mask, they are safe. If they've been vaccinated, obviously, according to public health guidance, they don't need to wear a mask.
Let me emphasize that if you are vaccinated, you have a very high degree of protection, and therefore you do not need to wear a mask.
And yesterday, the CDC is trying to force President Biden to say, oh, no, even if you're vaxxed, you should be masked.
And that's the question. If these vaccines are so great and so protective, as we're being told, then you shouldn't have to wear a mask. So now if you have to wear a mask, even if you're vaccinated, then that puts a big question mark on whether these vaccines are really effective. So then you ask the question, if they're not really effective, then why am I exposing my body to the potential side effects of the vaccine? I mean, and none of it adds up. None of it makes sense. It seems like they're just spouting out a new talking point every other day, and most of the time, these talking points contradict each other.
Because we've allowed them to move the goalposts.
Yeah, so now it says that you're a coach. So what are you still in Texas?
I'm still in Texas. I coached in the NFL for 12 years. I'm not currently with the team right now, but I am still living in Texas.
What do you think about the NFL right to use forfeit threat if unvaccinated players cause a COVID outbreak? That was big news that came yesterday. I'm sure you heard about it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there as we're talking, there are certain players in the league that have questions about this vaccine, and rightfully so. And now the NFL is trying to coerce people into getting the vaccines. And to me, I think that's dead wrong, because what happens if 5 years from now, you know, these players start coming down with these negative side effects, which may hurt their, you know, some part of their body where they can't play anymore. Where's the culpability at that point? Are they just on their own?
Exactly.
Is the NFL going to step up and say, we forced you to get these vaccines, so now we're going to pay you millions of dollars of lost wages because you can no longer play the game anymore? I mean, this is my question, not just with the NFL, but with everybody. What happens if my daughter 5 years from now has serious negative side effects from these vaccines?
You can't
sue. Where do
we
go? Yeah, we can't sue because these have only been approved for emergency use. So we're talking NFL players who could potentially lose tens of millions of dollars of lost wages if they have negative reactions to these things. So I think it's a highly questionable position for the NFL to take.
Well, what about like Bills receiver Cole Beasley? I mean, he's been very outspoken about, you know, his opposition to getting the COVID vaccine. So if he tests positive, then how does the team forfeits the game and they have to pay the expenses?
Oh, gosh.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's just not a workable position. I mean, Michael Jordan back in, I think, 95, he played the NBA Finals with 104 temperature and the flu. You know, there was no problem with that. And for these NFL players, as we talked about, they're between the ages of 22 and 35. They're probably some of the most healthy people on the planet. They're not going to have a negative response to the virus. So, I mean, to me, to shut down a game or forfeit a game because one guy got the virus or a few guys got the virus, I think is not a good position for the NFL to take.
And, but even people that are vaccinated, I mean, look what happened. The Yankees played the Phillies, and some of the Yankees players who have been vaccinated tested positive, but we're testing healthy people because they're asymptomatic. So if we keep doing this, this perpetual nightmare is never going to end.
Exactly. And then the question comes, how effective are the tests? I mean, is that vaccinated person who tested positive, is he really positive for COVID, or is the test all messed up? And then have these numbers that they've been throwing at us about the infection, right or wrong? Or if the tests aren't right, then we don't know if they're right or wrong.
Yeah. All right. We have to leave it there for today. Judd Garrett, thank you so much. Writer of the blog, Objectivity is the Object. Former Dallas Cowboys running back, former coach, and the column is titled Chicken Littles. Thank you, Judd, for joining us. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Okay. You guys got to hear what's going on across the pond. This is unbelievable. All right. And they were thinking about doing this here.
Oh, please.
And they better not do this here. So this is called a ping-demic. It's the ping. So you take your phone if you're in the UK or in Wales. Part of the United Kingdom. Hello. They give you an app that you download. All right. You fill out your information. And if you get COVID, you put in other people's information and phone numbers. And then also, too, they ping them to let them know that you could have you've been exposed to COVID. So this is what happened. On the week of July 14th, guess how many people got pinged?
How many?
You ready?
Yeah.
I was just... 620,000 people got pinged. So when people get pinged, so when your phone goes off that you've been possibly exposed to COVID-19, yeah. Guess what happened?
You have to go.
Bye. People in the media walking off their jobs, people working at restaurants, they just walk home. They just leave. Food truck deliveries. People, and there was a meatpacking company that almost, they were on the edge of failing. Because people walked off their jobs. And guess who else got pinged? Ooh. Boris Johnson.
Oh, Lord. Come
so
on.
Boris Johnson, who has had COVID, remember he was hospitalized?
I do, I remember.
Then he got vaccinated, and then he got pinged, and he decided to self-quarantine.
Is this a government-sanctioned app, or, I mean...
Yes, it's from their health department, the National Health Services Contact Tracing App.
I would never download it.
Well, people are now, I mean, there are grocery stores... In the UK, and you can see it online, where there's no products on the shelves because there's no truck delivery drivers to bring it up. And there's no employees at the grocery store. One guy was bagging groceries, and he just got pinged. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. We cannot let this happen here.
No.
And they should take that. They should be ashamed of themselves, the National Health Services, for even allowing that. Because in some cases, you don't have to put in... The phone knows if you've been around other people. So since I'm by your phone... My phone knows that I'm by your phone.
No.
And you said it reminded you of a movie.
So, that technology, the Tomorrow War. Tomorrow War, when they got pinged or notified, they had to go and be drafted.
Really?
Immediately. It was a good movie.
All right. I don't want to watch it, and I can't read George Orwell's 1984. I can't read it. I started reading it.
What?
And it was too...
It's too real.
Too real. It's too real.
It's too real.
And we don't know where the exit ramp is.
Yeah.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM 560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony from Black and Right is with me. He's in for Dan Proft, and your show airs every Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. right here on AM 560. And I got your time right, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. But are you going to be here tomorrow, or is somebody filling in for you?
It's not me.
Oh, is that, it wasn't
no,
me.
No.
It's not me. Who's going to fill in?
Nick Richmond, CEO of Matrix Home Solutions.
Oh, good.
He and Jeannie Ives are going to be in studio.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll be back on the 31st. What are you doing?
I'll be back on the 31st.
You want to tell us what you're doing?
Just trying to get refreshed.
Oh, taking a break.
Taking a break.
Yeah, good for
a
you.
A mental break.
You deserve it. I mean, you've got 12 children at home. Yeah. You get a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah.
But you've got five daughters, so any word of, you know, mandatory vaccinations in your school district?
No, they have not said anything like that as of yet. So I know a few of them that are on the board. I don't think Manuka would do that, Manuka School District. There's too many conservative Republicans in Manuka.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They would get trounced.
Different districts are doing different things. We know that District 200, masks are optional.
Yeah.
That's good, whether or not you're vaccinated. For now.
Yep.
Because this could all change. So don't think that you've won the battle everybody.
Well, we're going to continue to fight it, though.
In Geneva, masks are optional regardless of vaccination. In District 21 last night, they had a meeting. Kids PA through 5 have got to wear masks.
Yep.
If you are vaccinated...
Yep.
You have an option whether or not to wear a mask. So that's good. But in Chicago, we got the word yesterday. Everybody, regardless of vaccinations, teachers, kids K through 12, have to be masked up at all times. And one student, not too happy about it. Well, I'm sure many students aren't happy.
Kids have been mask-free all summer, including sports. There have been no deaths or hospitalizations because of COVID. With all due respect, to make them wear masks again is not following science or data. You are simply making decisions based on your own fears.
And that student not alone.
Don't think you need to because you're with so many people throughout the day, and you have to build up immunity somehow.
So that means anyone inside the building, teachers, parents... volunteers, coaches have to wear masks. Players have to wear masks while participating in fall indoor sports, including girls volleyball. And then basketball season's right around the corner once school starts, and they have to wear masks. And the WHO has always said, if you are exercising, you should not wear a mask.
Right.
Because it does restrict your breathing. Yeah. I don't care. I've seen it. I've watched football players get violently sick.
What about the sweat and all that?
In the springtime, our masks were dripping with sweat, and wet masks are not effective.
Unless
so we take that
off
and put on more? Oh, yeah. Well, they make swimmers put on masks after you're done with your competition. Before you grab that towel, you got to put that their mask on. But yesterday, we heard a little birdie told us that the IHSA, IDPH, are deciding whether or not to delay fall sports because of this slight ticking cases. Yeah. I mean... People, we went from 0.4 to 1.5% positivity rate in Chicago. The positivity rate for the state is at 3%. But these are, when did it come? It's about cases now and not hospitalizations. Our hospitalization death rate is doing very well.
Yeah.
It's the best that it has been since the pandemic began.
Well, they're moving the goalposts.
Because that's what this was all about.
Correct.
Was hospitalizations. Will we have enough hospital beds?
Yeah.
We are fine there. But still, Pritzker... When I asked him about it yesterday, Governor Pritzker said this.
We're constantly monitoring COVID, as you know, across the state, and we'll impose mitigations when and how we need to. As you know, I've not been reticent to do that, and especially because we want to keep people safe, especially those who are unvaccinated, who are most at risk.
So saving one life. Kids are not at risk. They are not a health threat.
Right.
0.002%. Died across the country from COVID.
What do you think is, what's really behind the whole kids and enforcing masks and mandating vaccines? What do you think
it's
really
control,
behind
it? It's because they've dug a hole so deep that they don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
Honestly. So then I pressed him again. So is it on the table delaying fall sports?
No, I know this is something that you pay a lot of attention to and keep pushing
on.
This is not something you say you have an inside source. This is not something that it's constantly something that the IDPH is monitoring to make sure that we keep our children safe, that their families are kept safe, that people who work in schools are safe. But it's not something that we're immediately looking at doing.
OK, well, that there's a little positive there.
Yeah.
But I don't trust him.
Sounds like he likes you, though.
With more on this. Oh, yeah. I show up and he's like, oh, God, who invited her? With more on this, let's welcome back to the program, Dave Ruggles. He is from Wheaton, you know, Pleasantville, we call it. Or you can call it the mean streets of Wheaton. But he did the right thing. And I'm so envious of you because I wish I could have done what you've done. And he took his son, who's a premier athlete, a basketball player, and he gave him a life. He gave him a chance. And he moved to Indiana.
Oh.
So, Dave, how did it go? How is your son's basketball season?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on this morning. It went great. They just have a totally different approach in Indiana than they do in Illinois, and that was kind of the thing that I was looking for. I wanted to see, you know, at the first sign of trouble, you can't cut and run. And this particular school, at one point, had a third of their student body and 25 teachers, I think it was, quarantined.
Wow.
Last fall, and they stayed open 5 days a week, and they continued with businesses open and schools open and sports open.
Wow.
And what ends up happening is it runs its course in that type of situation. And like you said, Amy, the risks for these kids are basically nil.
Right.
And they're just being realistic. There's a realistic approach, and then there's the, you know, the unicorn approach. And I think in Illinois, you know, when I was running the rallies and doing those, you know, doing all the interviews and everything else, you know, I pointed out at the time, I said, the same people who are in charge now are going to be in charge next fall. And if you think that they're not going to make the same decisions looking at the, you know, interpreting the data the way they do, then, you know, you're sorely mistaken. And I hope that that ends up not being, you know, true, but I don't know why anybody would be surprised that they'd be considering it, because they're the same people who made the wrong decisions the first time around.
Yeah, but Dave, have we really gotten all of the real raw and true data that to really make informed decisions?
Well, I don't trust the data. I mean, that's number one. I think it changes. I think the death count is ridiculous.
Oh, you know, ridiculous.
I mean, you see doctors, you know, report. I mean, it's, did you die of COVID or with COVID? I mean, those are two totally different things.
Yes.
You know, I think when anytime you've got funding involved, you're going to get the wrong, you know, the wrong people are going to make the wrong decisions on that. But again, I think it's how you interpret the data. Okay. You have to monitor it. You have to look at it. But if you have one foot out the door, another foot on a banana peel at the first sign of trouble, then you're just looking for an excuse to shut things down. And if you are advocating for the kids and saying, look, we're going to, you know, I've said it a million times, start with the premise that the kids need to be in school and playing sports because they're not at risk. You know, let's take care of the people who are at risk, who, by the way, at this point should have been vaccinated, right? If you haven't been, you've made the conscientious decision not to be, which is fine. But, you know, then you don't get to whine if you catch it. And we as a society shouldn't shut down to protect you or anybody else at that point, right? I mean, it's a little bit different this time around than the first time around because of that. You know, and it's a conscientious decision that people make. But from my vantage point, you know, I heard you mention that kids are mandated to get vaccinated to go to school. I mean, my daughter's at Indiana. They're requiring it. They call her every week.
They call her?
Yes.
So proof of infection isn't enough that you have to have the vaccine?
She's already had the virus. They've 68 of the 72 or whatever it was in her sorority caught it in the first month they were down there. There were zero hospitalizations. And now you're telling us that she has to be vaccinated when she's already had the virus, which is, you know, just...
That's crazy.
Stupid.
So what are you guys going to do? Because you're a nonconformist, and that's why we get along so well.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because, you know, they got you when it comes to college. You love the school you're at. And so what are you going to do? You're going to take a stand and quit? You know, I mean, they know they've got you. So in this particular case, my daughter, you know, who's 19 now, has made the decision that she's going to go ahead with and do it, you know. And I mean, as a dad, I have to honor her making that decision, because that's really where I'm at on this whole thing. Make your own decision.
Yeah.
And then run with it, but don't make excuses later, and don't be, you know, don't blame people later. But all I told the Indiana people was, if there are any issues at all down the road with my daughter health wise, you're going to be hearing from me, you know. And they will hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they will. And it'll be, you know, it'll be an attorney that makes a lot of money per hour probably. But you know, regardless, it's just not. They're not following common sense, you know. And people say follow the science. The science flip flops.
Yep.
You know, and then the sheep just follow them no matter what they say. And the thing that works with science is that people question. The smart people should question everything. And then that forces the data to be examined, and it forces theories to hold up to scrutiny. And you can't do that right now because it's not politically correct. You're a vax denier, you're a Trumpster, you're whatever, you know. And when anytime there's, you know, people are shutting down discussion and debate, you got a major, major problem.
That's,
you know,
true.
And that's really where we are, obviously.
All right. So what is there mask mandates for your son this fall in Indiana?
No, they've made it optional. I pretty much agree with everything they've done. They do have a quarantine policy that I'm not completely clear on. I think it's within 3 feet of somebody who had it for 15 minutes or more or something.
I hate that stuff.
That thing I can't stand. I actually told the school district, and, you know, I'm going to go in and emphasize this again. When basketball season starts, you know, I want my kids sitting in the middle of the classroom 5 feet from anybody. You want to play this 3 foot game, then I don't want anybody within 5 feet of him ever, because I don't, you know, he wants to play and they need him to play.
So many people that I know that have sons that play sports that they kept them home.
Yeah.
To do e-learning, and that would just allow them to go to basketball practice because they had scholarships on the line. My friend in Minnesota did that. Some people here did that. And I understand why they did that. Because you go in, these contact tracers are relentless. And that's that's why I got my kids vaccinated for political reasons, because both of my kids had it, because I don't want them quarantined. And they told me, they said, all right, well, if you get your kids quarantined or vaccinated, they don't have to quarantine. And now I'm learning today that doesn't matter. That even if they're around somebody, they have to quarantine for 10 days. That is hell.
Wow.
That is hell on earth.
Yes. Yeah, that's the problem with this whole thing, is that they've made it so unenticing to get vaccinated. It's unbelievable. It should be you get vaccinated, you don't need a mask, you don't need a quarantine, it's over. If you catch this thing, and don't test me if I feel fine.
Ugh.
I mean, I get a sinus infection. I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want all the nonsense, honestly.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there, with a sinus infection for 2 weeks. You know, think about all the other people who aren't going in and getting things, getting tested for more serious ailments. Because they just don't want to deal with the nonsense. I mean, it's the collateral damage from the way these people have approached this thing is tenfold worse than the virus itself. At least tenfold.
Now, are you going to vaccinate your son?
Nobody's told me I have to yet,
right. So
no.
But if it would keep him out of quarantine, would you do it?
I don't know. Amy, I don't know if I believe him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, you can tell me that you're not going to quarantine the kid if he catches it after he's vaccinated. And maybe in Indiana, it's more of a believable statement. But honestly, they keep moving the goalposts. So why would I, and that's this is a thing that people used to have a great faith in our medical community, in our science community. And, you're called a kook for questioning these people, questioning their motives. But, at some point, it's going to come out what's behind this thing. And like you said, John, who knows exactly what it is, if it's control, if it's just people are just scared. I mean, I'm not going to posit a theory on that, but at some point, think it's going to come out who's getting paid what, and then we're going to really have to shine a bright light on this whole thing.
I mean, I don't see this ending this year or next year. I mean, my brother-in-law, he laughed at me. He goes, I told you this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I told him about fall sports main being delayed. He goes, I told you. And it's not for just Chicago. Yeah. If Pritzker, he's the governor of the entire state. It's the entire state.
Yep.
So people down south who have zero cases in their community and are like scratching their heads because once again, they have to pay for the sins of Chicagoans.
Yeah.
We need to fight back. If he delays fall sports, what should we do collectively as parents, Dave?
Well,
because we've been to many rallies together.
I mean, we did a Wheaton rally that had, 1,100 or 1,500 people or whatever, and that ended up being, I think, the biggest one of all of them. And, there was one we had in Naperville that should have been 5,000. There was air coverage from the media. People have to get out off their rear ends, and they've got to go out, and they've got to stand for something. I mean, they have to understand that, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And that's what people just don't get. And, I don't know in Illinois if there's enough resolve to fight it. I mean, there's been a mass exodus, even in Wheaton.
I think it is now.
Of people just trying to get out of there, and they have gotten out of there. Now, somebody else moves into their house, so the school district doesn't really pay the price. The city doesn't pay the price yet. But the next move is going to be followed by nobody going in, And that's, unfortunately, it's kind of counter to what I like to do, which is to stay and fight. But at some point, I'm looking at my kid, and he is smiling. His personality's come out. People insisted it was all a sports thing for us. He's going to play in college for free as a basketball player. So, and whether he would have done that in Illinois or not, I don't know. But what I can tell you
is he wouldn't have.
His happiness and everything else is really, and his education. I'm just going to tell you this one college roommate of my daughter's, or friend of my daughter's, she said, and it's a straight A student, we're going to have to relearn how to learn again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they're sitting there online with the computer doing their class, and their phone in their right hand giving them the answers. And anybody who doesn't, and then if you're poor, they don't have the computer, so they're not even logged on. So what you've got is you've got half the group cheating, the other half the group not even bothering.
That's true.
And we're okay with that as a society. And that's just absurd.
Well, a shame on all these parents, too, who just sat on their hands and let the government roll all over them. I mean, really.
Yeah. I mean,
and if people don't fight back this time, then there's no hope
right.
for them. And the only thing I can...
You need 5,000 people. 5,000 people at a rally. But you gotta, it's got to be guaranteed, and I don't know how you do that. And you know, what happens is when the numbers come out big, then they take notice. Because it, ultimately, Pritzker, it, like Newsom, is only interested in being reelected. I mean, that's really what his... Everything that drives him forward is, and that's how you hit him. You hit him in the pocketbook. Yeah. You hit him in the place that he's most vulnerable, which is, you know, he wants. He's, this is probably the first time he's ever been in charge of anything, even though he's a billionaire.
I mean, it's election right? year for him. If he does this, I think he's toast. Well, I say that, but well, then who's right. his biggest gift is that the Illinois Republican
forget,
Party doesn't exist,
and the voters forget.
Right.
Oh, they won't forget this.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
think so?
Hey, look at what happened in 2020. They've forgotten already what happened yeah. in 2020.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, unfortunately. I mean, that doesn't mean you stop fighting. It doesn't right. mean you give up hope, because that's really what they're banking on. But it is an uphill battle there. And, you know, people need to understand that. And there's a lot of good people that are still there that understand and agree with us. I mean, if and when the time comes, they've got to step up. And if they don't, then honestly, they have nobody to blame but themselves. You know, and I would say this to you, Amy, too, and you and I have talked about this before. You know, you said, I did something you couldn't do, and I understand kind of your situation, why you couldn't.
No,
there's a lot of
I
people
tried.
Out there. There's a lot of people out there who say, I can't do it. And my answer to them is, yeah, you can. You just go do it. You know, you just go get an apartment and stay across the state line, whether it's Iowa or Indiana, and do it for your kids. You know, I mean, if you're really a good parent, and I'm not saying this to you because I know your situation or whatever, but there's people that are just making excuses. Your kids' mental well-being is more important than your bank accounts, and you know, and whatever else. It just is. Mm-hmm. That's your number one purpose as a parent, in my opinion, is to advocate for your child and other children. That's what we do. That's how we continue the human race. And you know, holding your kid up as a shield when there's an active shooter in the room, it's not the way to do it, right? You dive in front of the kid. And it's just the two different approaches. And, I mean, well, that's a harsh illustration of what we're doing here. But if you think about it, it really is. It's two different mindsets, right? Yeah. We're going to sacrifice the kids to protect the 75-year-old. By the way, if you've asked the 75-year-old, do you want to be protected? It's a grandma, probably, who's going to say, yeah, I'll be safe. I'll watch from afar. But I want my grandkids to have an experience at school and
yep.
sports.
That's what like my mom kids. Said. My mom said, I will stay locked right. in my house for years if your kids could just have their lives back.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're afraid, stay in. If your kid's unhealthy, keep them in. You know, I don't begrudge that. And I think we should make accommodations for those people. I really do. And I've always said this.
Yeah,
but
it's true.
We got to get out ahead of this thing, and we got to learn to live with it. Because it doesn't appear that it's going away.
No, it's like a cold.
And
it is never going to go away. It's
right.
It's a cold. It's a
away.
Virus. It's the flu.
Right.
All right, so Dave Ruggles, we're going to have to leave it there. But love what you've done. And I've admired it. And we'll stay in touch. And good luck to your son in his basketball
All right, take
season.
Care.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
And Dave right. joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Open mic Friday. Call in now. Open mic Friday.
Justin, you and I have to sing together sometime in these things you do. All right, it's Open Mic Friday, 312-642-5600, things he does. I mean, he's got a wonderful voice. He's very creative.
He has his passport, right?
Pardon?
He has a passport,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a vaccine passport?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure he does. Yeah, he does. But 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, and then a quick comment. Anything you want to talk about? Do you have anything you want to get off your chest? Oh, you were telling me about this form.
So, you know, back in a couple, right before the end of school year, my daughter, she was on the bus. Somebody on the bus had contracted corona.
COVID, yeah. Or
and
the vid, I call it.
The
you,
vid.
Get, you either get the hit
right.
or you get the vid.
So they called me and said that I had to keep my child home in quarantine. Well, I found out there's a whole process to that. They can't just call and tell you that. There's a vaccination form, quarantine form that has to be filled. And the only way your child can be, according to an attorney I was speaking to, the only way your child has to stay home is if you consent to them staying home or court order.
A court order, court really? Order.
So if I would have said, no, she's going back to school, they would have had to fill out this vaccination form. You know how many
and then take you to court?
And then take me to court over it. According to, I just sent you the vaccination form.
Oh, yeah, because I know it's coming.
The quarantine form, I should
say. It's not if it's one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So there's an attorney out there who said he's ready for the first person that this happens, so he's going to represent them for free.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. In New South Wales, we're going to go move over to Australia now because they've had some severe quarantines.
Oh, boy.
They don't let people leave the island. People don't come in. They lock you in your house. Oh, yeah. They've had three serious lockdowns where they don't leave the house. And if you do leave the house, you have to have a form to show that you're going to the grocery store and only one person in the household can leave. So listen to this. Now they're asking people not to talk to their neighbors.
What?
Oh, yeah. Here is the New South Wales public health director.
Whilst it is in human nature to engage in conversation with others, to be friendly, unfortunately, this is not the time to do that. So even if you run into your next door neighbour in the shopping centre, in the Coles, whilst you're at Coles or Woolworths or Aldi or any other grocery shop, don't start up a conversation. Now is the time for minimising your interactions with others. Even if you've got a mask, do not think that affords total protection. We want to be absolutely sure that as we go about our daily lives, we do not come into contact with anyone else that would pose a risk.
Yeah, people are out of their minds. And my friend who, he's from Berlin, Germany. He lives here now. His mom passed away and he went to go visit her, you know, her gravesite, because he couldn't go to the funeral because of COVID. It's a cemetery, okay? Outdoor cemetery.
Where dead people are.
He has a bouquet of flowers. And they wouldn't let him in the cemetery if he didn't have a proof of vaccination card or a negative COVID test. It's an outdoor cemetery.
Okay, wait. Help me understand.
Process
this.
That.
Yeah. So
it's a group of dead people because they're already in the ground.
Yeah, right. There's no live other people around, but you can't go visit your loved one because you don't have, okay.
They're working on changing that policy, but that is the what is going on.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense.
In other countries.
Can't be around dead people.
Oh, okay. 312-642-5600. Let's get to the phone lines. Who should we take first? Let's go to Rich in Indian Head Park.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
I have a few quick questions. I think the bottom line on this vaccine and why people are, some people are holding back and not getting it is because the government's not consistent. They started out, wear a mask, you're protected. Then it went to two masks. Now you get the vaccine, but you still can't go into places to eat or to shop because they want you to still wear a mask. Now, what is it? Is the vaccine going to protect you, or are we going to have to wear a mask forever?
Right.
I know, it's mixed messages. And I told people, too, and they should know this, everybody in Illinois, at any point in time, Governor Pritzker can do what maybe Joe Biden is thinking about doing, and that's saying even if you're vaxxed, you have to mask. So don't get used to these freedoms, folks, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Terry in Rogers Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Well, this is another subject, but this may sound like a conspiracy theory, but the last 2 weeks, Fox Cable News has been showing Biden wearing dark sunglasses, walking down an airplane's red carpeted stair as rapidly as a 20-year-old. And I suspect it wasn't Biden. An 80-year-old usually can't walk down a stair that fast. And if I remember right, he wasn't even holding on to the handrail.
I'm not even near that age, and I hold on to a handrail.
So do I. When I go down the stairs.
All right. Well, that's what do you think, John Anthony? Thanks, Terry, for the phone call.
Yeah, I don't. You know, he's.
You got a little.
I gotta watch the video.
Oh, I've seen him. I mean, he is walking fast. But I thought that he, you know, prepped himself, like stretched out in there before the cameras, and they're like, "All right, gotta go,
I gotta
make sure I don't fall down the stairs."
Took some adrenaline shot or something.
But again, if you haven't heard, I mean, this is. President Biden at the CNN town hall.
Oh, geez.
All right, he's answering a question about vaccinations. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Ugh. And instead, It's a word salad.
That's underway, just like the other question that's illogical. And I've heard you speak about it because you always, I'm not being solicitous, but you're always straight up about what you're doing. Yeah. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say, we know that this virus is, in fact, it's going to be,
Yeah.
So the phone lines we go. Here's Mike on the north side. Mike, by the way, I won a bet against Mike.
Uh-oh, what was the bet?
He bet that I didn't pull a Republican ballot in 2010. And I did, and we have proof.
Oh.
So how was that $500 check you wrote to Maryville Academy?
Anytime I can help out a charity, it's a good thing.
Yes, and thank you for doing that. Johnny.
This name, this voice sounds familiar.
This is Mike.
From Lakeview?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's a city worker, don't
you? Not Lakeview.
Oh.
Not Lakeview. I want to get caught dead living east of Ashland Avenue. Come on.
There's West Lakeview, which is, West Lakeview is west of Ashland, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, great. You're North Center. Quit trying to give yourself a trendy name.
Go ahead.
Listen, John Anthony, I wanted to warn you. We found out yesterday that Amy is a habitual and serial fat shamer.
She's mean.
She's mean and she's critical. Two of the reasons why I didn't marry her. But what's with Dan Prof missing 2 days this week?
Well, he's
getting paid. What is he, a city worker?
Yeah. Hey,
okay. I think Dan's been getting a lot of heat because of the Polish jokes we told. So I'm going to take Dan off the hook and give you two quick German jokes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I translated them in English for you. My German grandfather died in a concentration camp. He was drunk. He fell out of his guard tower.
All right, that's really bad. Really bad.
Well, you know, Grandpa wasn't the nicest guy.
Okay, all right, next joke, or what you think is a joke.
What's the difference between a dairy cow and a Holocaust? You can only milk a cow for 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Mike. Bye, Mike. Bye-bye, Mike.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye, Mike. Dear Lord. You got to turn your mic on.
It went off. We have a mutual friend.
Who do?
Rick Williams. He knew you from Iowa City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was with him the other day. He was like, tell her I said hi. I know you're going to be sitting there.
Good. Let's clean the filth off from that mic from the north side. Dear Lord, what is wrong with him? Eduardo in Midway, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, thank you. Real quickly, a couple of things. First, what do you think about these people just walking out with these merchandise? And I think the big thing is they should take away the merchandise. Like I saw this one guy from Best Buy take away the merchandise. And you guys want to comment on the movie, because I saw this on Wednesday, The Summer of Soul. Mm-hmm. Particularly Nina Simone, if anybody knows that.
I know she is, but I didn't see the movie.
I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, she married a NYPD detective, and she moved to Europe because she wanted to avoid the IRS.
Oh.
Okay.
Summer of Soul,
yeah.
You said?
FYI.
All right. Thanks, Eduardo, for the phone call.
Summer of Soul.
Last night I spoke at an event in Geneva, Illinois, with the Three-Headed Eagle Alliance. They need a new name. No, but it was great, and I met a lot of people, including Gina from Westmont. Good morning, Gina. It's your first-time caller, right?
Yes, it is, and thank you, Amy. It was such a pleasure meeting you last night.
Yeah, and tell everybody what you did, because you did something very smart.
Yeah, so what I did is I did a Freedom of Information Act request through my school board or my district, which is Westmont, Illinois. And I asked them for anything that was related to CRT, culture responsive training, equity, inclusion. I mean, you got to give them all the buzzwords because they won't comply because they're sneaky that way. So they kindly lent me a laptop, and I just started because I just got the laptop yesterday, but I just started through the emails, and I'll just read a few bits and pieces of some of them. So one of them was they had a 5-part series on a conversation on nice white parents and what gets in the way. One of their emails. One of the other ones is they were very excited about I guess they were asked to read a book, What Does It Mean to Be White? Developing White Racial Literacy. And then they did talk about, like, the 1619 Project. I mean, it goes on and on. And I swear to God, I loved what your previous caller, David, was it Ruggles?
Yes,
whatever.
Ruggles.
These parents need to wake up, and honestly, they need to fight for their children.
Yep.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's die standing, then live on our knees, as we always say. Thanks, Gina, for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Robert in Schaumburg. Good morning, Robert.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Amy, listen, I was just wondering, the spike in the coronavirus, what about all the illegals that are coming across the border? I don't hear anybody talking about the spike with the illegals coming across the border.
Yeah, I don't even know if the CDC puts
them
in there.
Yeah.
Well, I know about 3,000 are coming here, refugees, they're calling them, and they're not all from Mexico. There's a ton from Haiti, Afghanistan, they're from all over. And I know that a lot of the kids, because there's many unaccompanied teenagers, are going to Mather High School.
Yeah. We were having that discussion during the break.
Station them. Oh, yeah.
We were having that discussion.
And another thing I want to say, I have 6 grandchildren. 5 of them are biracial. And my granddaughter, who's going to be 6, said to me, Grandpa, are you racist?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and she's going to be 6. And she lives with me. She knows. When I'm out, when I go to the store, I'm 70 years old. I go out. I am proud when I walk in the store with 3 of my grandchildren who are biracial.
How did you answer the 6-year-old granddaughter? What did you say?
I said, no, Kaylani, I am not racist.
Wow.
She said, you're right, Grandpa. I'm proud. My granddaughters are beautiful. Beautiful kids.
And you're lucky to live with them. Thanks, Robert, for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Judy in Streamwood. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Amy.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you, I've been listening to this mask mandate for so many months. And there's a doctor that told us quite a few months ago, masks do not stop the COVID virus. There's 200 million COVID particles on the head of a pin. They flow through the mask like water. In fact, the doctor told us it's like stopping mosquitoes with a chain link fence.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That's true.
And then you tell these people that are COVIDians and COVID enthusiasts, you know, I'm not going to say the reporter, but she said, oh, don't tell me you don't think masks work. And I said, if masks work, what's going on in Japan right now?
Yeah.
They are 98% mask compliant as a country.
Yeah.
They listen to everything their prime minister says.
They
sleep in their masks.
They only stop colds and other things that have bigger particles.
But what you should see what's on the mask at the end of the day. I got to retweet that study. I mean, it was disgusting.
Yeah,
you had strep, you had E. coli.
You know, okay. Check this study. Check this one. There's so many thousands. I think I saw in the news the other day over 5,000 or 6,000 people that had the vaccine and have developed the virus. Okay. How many people who had the virus for the last year and a half and recovered, like most healthy people do, you know, you get it, you recover. How many people of those category got it again? I'd like to find that out, because if your own immunity protects you better than
the vaccine, right?
Then
that should be proof of
forcing all these teenagers and college students to get it when they've already had it.
I know, Judy.
That's true.
All right, thanks, Judy. We're going to move on. Thanks. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to Rich and Niles. He wants to talk about the Forest Preserve police.
No.
That's my favorite. If you ever want to kill somebody, drop their body off in the Forest Preserve.
You mean the Squirrel Patrol? I'm sorry.
What did you call them?
They call them the Squirrel Patrol.
Hi, Rich.
Hi. Yeah, last summer I was at the Forest Preserve, and there was only maybe a handful of people out there on a nice sunny summer day, and I was sitting on a chair, and I heard somebody come up behind me, and they said, sir. I said, what's the matter? And I turned around, and it was a woman, Forest Preserve policewoman. And she says, you can't sit there. I said, what do you mean I can't sit there? She says, you either got to walk or stay in your car, because that's the order from Pretwinkle. And so she went over and started harassing some of the other people. And I went after her, and right after her, and I kept hollering at the people that not to vote Democrat, don't vote Democrat. And that irritated the cop. He says, "Oh, you're just a troublemaker." I says, "Yeah, I guess I am."
You just wanted to sit on the bench in the Forest Preserve.
In the
open,
outside.
Outside.
Rich even brought his own chair. What a good citizen. Yeah, I know. Remember, don't take me back to those crazy times because a lot of crazy stuff happened. Thank you, Rich. Because I asked Pritzker, too. I said, you know, you mentioned in your campaign ad that if you could do something, you know, if you could do it all over again, what would you do different? And I thought maybe he'd say, yeah, I'd probably not have two people in a boat or two people golfing that were in the same household. Because you traveled to the golf course with four people and you had to go split up. Where you go take a boat with your family. Yeah. It was absolutely nonsense.
It was.
But no, he said I should have implemented the mask mandate earlier. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Of all the things?
Real quick. Oh, forget it. We don't need to hear him say it. Matt in Oak Lawn, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, guys. So earlier in the week, you did a segment about 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old about them being racist. So I sat my 5-year-old down that night when I got home from work. I said, "Buddy, who do you like more, black people or white people?" And he told me that he likes Spider-Man. I was like, "Ah, Christ." So I'm glad he's not a racist, but my problem now.
Oh, Matt, you're
cut. So we got a whole problem.
Okay, thanks, Matt, for the phone call. Quickly, let's go to John in Bridgeport. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, thanks a lot for the chance to put in my comment. I'm just totally sick of the fact that they are acting like the police, you know, were the problem during the May riots and all that. And of course, they stumbled over into June and all that. And then when they were tying their hands and all that, I mean, what would have been wrong with using rubber bullets, sandbags, or whatever they can shoot to make these people that were starting fires and not being peaceful to maybe not think about breaking into stores and starting fires and stealing stuff? I think it would have worked pretty well.
Yeah. I know. Rules of engagement. We're not engaged.
Totally,
there were no rules of engagement.
Stand down.
All right. Thanks for the phone call. And John Anthony, quickly. People want you. They want to know the name of that attorney, and they want the form. Can you tweet out the form at least?
Yeah, check Black and Right on Facebook and Twitter,
so it's
and I'll do
Black
it.
And Right.
Yeah, at Black and Right Radio.
At Black and Right Radio
on
Facebook and Twitter, and he will tweet out that form that you need in case they try to quarantine our children.
And the name.
And we're going to end today with Greg in Woodstock because he has an announcement. Hi, Greg.
Oh, am I here?
Yeah, you're on.
Hey, well, first of all, it used to be Greg from Woodstock. Now it's Greg from Lake Geneva.
Greg from Lake Geneva?
Summer. Lake Geneva. I'm right down the street from the bottle shop.
Wow.
And you live in a place that doesn't have a cell
phone
tower.
Phone.
Are you there, Greg?
He's gone.
Well, he moved.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there you are. So you live by the bottle shop, huh? You can see Chuck from Delavan there.
I practically walking distance. So, one of the days I'm going to hook up with Chuck.
All right. Well, Greg, hopefully they'll upgrade the service there in Lake Geneva. But congratulations and wish we could join you.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.